Lord, as we open your word together, we ask that you will speak to us, make your way clear, show us a little more who you are, what you want for us, and Lord, as we pray our prayers, help us to hear your answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this morning is from Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. He says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. But let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." The word of the Lord. People of God, most of us have been on those long hikes with friends or family where we looked up and we saw the hill and the long rugged path going up it. And while some of us might get a little excited by such a challenge, the rest of us look at that and say, "I feel tired already. This is going to be a long, hard slog." In our text this morning, Paul is talking to people that were in the middle of a long, hard slog. The church in Galatia was a struggling and weary church. As with so many of those early communities, they were in the middle of major change and growth, with so much to learn. And following the Holy Spirit, although it was exciting and dynamic, was a lot messier than they had ever experienced before. So churches had all kinds of big questions in the air. Well, another challenge that they faced was the countercultural nature of what they were doing. How does a Christian live in the Roman Empire? This was a very powerful culture that ran in a very different direction. So the questions, right, what does God want from us as far as ethics and lifestyle choices? How should we live? We know that sin is very strong, and the pull of our Roman culture only adds to that. How can we move in a different direction, and what does that look like? But then some churches also experienced conflict and controversy. The Church of Galatia was one of those. We reflected on their story a number of weeks ago, if you would remember. This is that church that had the old boys club pulling in a certain direction. These were a group of devout Jews who said, "We are losing our roots. We're losing our way. Let's not forget what God wants from us. We know this. God wants us to be circumcised, to obey the laws of Moses. God wants feasts and rituals. Let's get back to the basics, and then we'll know that we're on the right path." The bottom line for this church is struggling through all of this, big questions and controversies and pulls from one group against another, struggling to find their way. It was a long uphill battle. People were getting confused, discouraged, and exhausted by it. When we read Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, we see what he sees. He has a couple notes of concern that he says. He says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? You were doing so well. You were running with energy and strength, and it was exciting to be with you and see what God was doing. What happened? Don't you remember the road that I set you on? It is not about getting all the rules and regulations of Judaism right. God is working differently now. We follow His Spirit. We follow that leadership. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." That church needed to hear Paul's message because they were getting worn out. They needed him to come and see what was going on and say, "Let me help you with this." They were weary of controversy. weary of swimming upstream in a hostile culture, weary of the fight against sin. And so they became weary even of doing good. The slog was hard. They didn't feel like they were getting anywhere. When we find ourselves in that place sometimes too, confused about who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, sometimes there's so much that is changing around us that we do feel lost, like we're losing our direction. And when that happens, it feels like we're working really hard, but we're not getting anywhere. Life for us, too. Even in the church, our work together can feel like a slog. And then we look up from our struggle, and we hear a culture that is promising us the easy life. Advertisements paint a picture that looks so appealing. Every picture and image is bright and beautiful, chiseled for perfection. Now, if you notice, there's a few things. The Slurpee, right? This is the excitement that you will have when you have to re-drink a Slurpee. Oh, and an Atari. Oh, don't we all want an Atari? I mean, that's a little bit old, but deep down, all of us still want an Atari. And a burger will blow your mind, right? We want this. This hand blender is going to make your kids love you and eat their vegetables and cause all your problems to go away. Right? We are fed this steady, steady diet of it. Every time we look up from the hard life that we have or whatever confusion, we have that promise that is there. And when we get tired, and when we look up, and we wonder, wouldn't I be happier if I just gave in and to all my selfish wants, to all these things, if I just reached out to this? I mean, people who are doing that, whatever they want, seem happier, at least on television and in magazines. But then we are reminded by Paul, warning, God will not be mocked. You can turn your back on God and live selfishly, but be warned, he says, you reap what you sow. There's a TV show that explores this dynamic called Breaking Bad. Now, I have not actually seen this show yet, but I have heard a number of things about it. But essentially, this show is based on medieval morality plays. It explores that whole dynamic of you reap what you sow. So the main character is confronted with a number of choices all along the way, his struggles, what would happen if, you make this choice because for this reason, right? He wants to protect someone you love, so you do this bad thing, right? And so he gradually chooses the wrong choices again and again and again, and he becomes a criminal. His life begins to spin out of control, and it just comes to the point where he is significantly changed. And his family even wants nothing to do with him after a while. You reap what you sow. You live by violence and betrayal and selfishness, and this is what you will receive. That warning is there in Scripture. But then Paul also points to the other side of that coin. You reap what you sow. When you sow good seed in service to God, a harvest of good results. When you are building, when you are sowing love and grace, when you are building friendships and trust and honesty, right? That community of faith and love is part of the harvest that you sow. That's what results. Now, the wait for that can take some time. Wait for harvest, right? It can take a long time to show itself, and that can cause us to wonder if, say, the good we're doing will ever produce fruit. I'm working hard to do what I think is right, but I'm not seeing this good stuff happen. Where is the harvest? Well, in my research this past week, I came across this interesting story about the missionary William Carey. And here it is, as told by the commentator T. George. He says, William Carey arrived in India in 1793 with a burden to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who had never heard the name. For 7 years, 7 years he proclaimed the gospel message faithfully, week after week, month after month, with not a single native of India converted to Christ. Through years of struggle and doubt, Carey was often discouraged, but never defeated. And here's a letter that he wrote to his sisters back home in England. He said, "I feel as a farmer does about his crop. Sometimes I think the seed is springing, and thus I hope, but a little blasts all, and my hopes are gone like a cloud. They were only weeds which appeared, or if a little corn sprung up, it quickly dies, being either choked with weeds or parched by the sun of persecution." India was not a safe place for Christians, and a strong culture, a strong religion, Hinduism, the religion of India, the beliefs of India, for you to step out of that, there was a lot of difficulty. Families broken, persecution, it was not easy. Parched by the sun of persecution. Yet he says, "Still, I hope in God, and I will go forth in his strength and make mention of his righteousness, even of his only." The wait was long. He wrote this letter after 3 years of seeing nothing happen, of hard work. It was easy to be discouraged, but he persevered, trusting that the Lord of the harvest will make new life grow. Well, as he writes his letter to the church in Galatia, Paul gives a few words of encouragement, quite a few of them. He gave them a picture of them playing their part in God's family business, calling them sons and heirs. You're no longer slaves, as though, you know, people who are like children in the house who don't know what's going on. You are sons and heirs at work with your master. Right? You are there working alongside your father, and as such, because we're working beside God, that we are not alone, and we can do our part in the kingdom with sincerity and joy. And he also spoke to them about the power of the Holy Spirit at work in them, sowing a beautiful harvest, not just outside, but also in them. The fruits of the Spirit, the harvest coming to life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, God's harvest in you. God was growing things here as well. And so he encouraged a people weary of the fight against sin, the weary climb against the crowd, to carry each other's burdens, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. Well, in today's text, we hear him give some more encouragement. He encourages them not to become weary of doing good. And here he uses the good angle on "you reap what you sow." The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So he encourages them to live and to work with hope. Do not become weary of doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do good to everyone that you see. But members of the family, love them in a special way. Well, earlier we heard the story of William Carey, waiting a long time to see any harvest for the many seeds he had sown. Well, on December 28th in 1800, 7 years after he began his ministry in India, remember he wrote that first letter 3 years after and said, "You know, this is frustrating, it's a long wait, I don't see things happening, and every time I see little things, it's just weeds, and it's gone." Right? After 7 years, Carey baptized his first Hindu convert in the Ganges River. It's a carpenter named Krishna Paul. One of his co-workers was named William Ward, and he saw this dramatic conversion coming into the faith. And he wrote in his diary, "Ye gods of stone and clay, did ye not tremble when the triune name one soul shook you from his feet as dust. This was the beginning of a mighty harvest of souls that God would grant to carry and his co-workers at the Serampore mission in India. It's just the beginning. The first fruits of that harvest, God began to move in power. 7 years of steady work and persistence and faith in God paid off. God answered, and the harvest began. In this season of Advent, we are reflecting on the deepest longings of our hearts. Today we reflect on one aspect of that longing, our weariness, our tiredness, our frustration. We feel like we're not getting anywhere. We are weighed down with burdens, tired of slog, and we wonder if we will ever see some of the harvest for the work that we do. At Advent, we remember that Jesus is God's answer to our weariness. We've heard Paul talk about this in a roundabout way, right? He talked about the Spirit of Christ, we are set free from freedom, we are running this race with the Spirit at work in us, right? Christ is doing this and energizing us for the work. He's made us working in a family business. We are at work with God, building his kingdom. Let's listen to the words of Jesus. Let's hear it straight from his lips as God came to walk in our midst. From Matthew 11. God answers our weariness with rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We receive that rest when we participate in the cross. At the cross, Jesus took all of our sin, all our burdens on his shoulders. And he says, give this to me. Surrender this to me. Lay this at my feet, and I will carry this for you. Have rest from your burden. Jesus is also our shepherd in this life. And as a shepherd, he watches over us and walks with us and cares for us. We rest in his presence under his watchful eye. He gives us rest. Then God answers our weariness by joining us in our work. Jesus said these words, like, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The imagery of the yoke is one that rabbis use to say, if you want to learn how to make a harvest for God, come into yoke with me. And so the image there is two oxen who are pulling together, pulling a plow or however, whatever they're doing, but they're pulling together to do some work. What you would do is you take an inexperienced oxen, a new one, a young one who didn't know what he was doing, and you would yoke him to one that did know what he was doing, one who was experienced, who had that humble gentleness, was trained to walk a straight line. And you put the two together, and the young one learns from the old one. In this text, Jesus is saying, look, you want to learn how to do God's work? Come into a yoke with me. Walk with me. Pull with me. Let me teach you where you should be. Together we will make a rich and deep and beautiful harvest for our God. Don't give up. Let's do this together. People of God, Jesus is God's answer to our deepest longings. He is the answer. We talked about last week how Jesus is the answer to our deepest wants. But he is also the answer to our weariness. As God's people, we can sometimes feel lost and frustrated, as though our work was not bearing fruit. And when we're wrestling with big questions for a long time, it can be very discouraging. It can be draining. But God has an answer to our weariness. We hear it in the words of Paul. Don't grow weary of doing good. The harvest is coming. It takes a long time, but be patient. Have faith. The Spirit of God is at work in us. In making the harvest happen out there, the Spirit of God is working, making the harvest in you as well. Of love, joy, peace, patience. patience, kindness, and gentleness. So just keep in step with the Spirit, and you will stay on track. And we hear God's answer in the words of Jesus, who ministers to us as a shepherd, giving rest and protection to his sheep, who takes our most terrible burdens on his shoulders, and who comes alongside us, inviting us to pull with him in the work, to teach us how to do it, how to walk with him, how to plow deep for a rich harvest. We have a God who answers our deepest longings. And in the season of Advent, we wait with expectation for God to answer us. So we say, come, Lord Jesus. You are God's answer to our weariness. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing together now. Reflecting on what God is teaching us, Jesus pulling alongside us, the Spirit walking with us, and all the work that we do, God giving us rest. Let's stand and sing, and in our new song, celebrate how God is moving in our midst. Let's stand.
Have no fears. Oh. That's happened.